Glory to God. Amen. Could you stand with me, please? Bible says, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We try to do a lot of things on our own without incorporating God's help, because some things we just don't want to bother God with. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and say, well, you know, I was going to call you, I was going to ask you, but, you know, you're so busy, and I'd rather do it myself, make my own decision. But you see, we can't get so self-sufficient that we go off and do our own thing without asking God for his approval on things. Because it's not by our intellect, it's not by our power, it's not by our wisdom, but it's by the Spirit of God that we need to control our lives somehow. I feel very confident tonight, not in myself, but in the Spirit, because God has been talking to me all day about this message, and it is for somebody, and perhaps it might be for everybody. And so once I know what God wants me to teach or preach, then whether you enjoy it or not, it really doesn't matter, because I'm just a mailman delivering a message. And I hope somehow that you benefit by it. Turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter, if you would. We're going to use quite a bit of scripture. You may want to leave the screen down tonight. Numbers chapter 13, verse number 26, it says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all of the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now they're entering into the promised land. We've got 12 spies who were directed, you know, from each tribe. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong and dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all of the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Lord, we ask your anointing upon your word. God, it's not a book report. It's something that we can apply to our lives every day. And we're grateful for it, for the inspiration and the keeping of it, that tonight we might allow it to become alive in our lives. Blessed as only you can, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 40 years Israel was in a wilderness, and they witnessed the miracles of God every day. Parting of the Red Sea, I don't know if any of you have seen anything that could even compare to that. We've seen great miracles in the church, but nothing like that. The destruction of all of Pharaoh's armies, manna that came down from heaven, clothes and shoes that never wore out, water that came from a rock, but then they are told to go forward and to claim the promises of God, and now all of a sudden they're not strong enough, they don't have enough power. They saw there would be a challenge, an enemy that would have to be confronted. And 10 of the 12 spies were so afraid that they brought back an evil report. Every day we come up against evil reports. Every day we come up against challenges. All they saw was the giants. And the word giant here in the original Hebrew means powerful warriors or tyrants. And verse number 33 said, there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. We can be confronted by so many things in life, so many problems, so many tests that we go through, whether it's a financial situation or a health situation or somebody who makes threats against us, and we're worried about it, and yet we've seen all of the great things that God has done in our lives. And it didn't say that the enemy looked at them as grasshoppers, but in their own sight, they looked as grasshoppers. And because they thought they were grasshoppers, the enemies thought they were grasshoppers. I am not a grasshopper. Would you repeat after me? I am not a grasshopper. No one's going to step on the Jesus in me. I got power that you can't see. Jesus is living it. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, the same spirit that created the earth, the world. And then we have these little problems, these little threats that come against us, and all of a sudden, we're nobody and we're nothing, and we're there doing it all by ourselves. And God said, really? Really? Are you facing a giant tonight? Did God fill you with the Holy Ghost? Is God's Spirit living inside of you? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If we see ourselves as grasshoppers, then the enemy will also see us as grasshoppers. If we see ourselves in defeat somehow, everybody else is going to see us in defeat. I am a child of the King, and no one's going to step on me. No one's going to step on you. We need to review all of the miracles that God has performed in each and every one of us. There's a miracle sitting on the front pew. There's a miracle sitting right next to you. You need to review it and see that it was impossible, but God did the impossible. Turn to Psalms 37. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 1, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. You know what God's saying? Don't worry. Philippians 4 and 6 says, be careful for nothing. Nothing. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your mind and heart, your thinking and your feelings, and that's what we need. Our attitude should be, how dare you threaten God's anointed. How dare you come against us? You uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, how dare you? We come in the name of the Lord. I don't care how big you are. How big are you in comparison to my God? Would you turn to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter? Starting in verse number 37. This is the challenge between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You know, it was during a time of drought, and somehow Elijah came up with barrels of water and poured them on the sacrifice. And of course, he waited for Baal to answer, and nothing happened. He kind of made fun of him. Is your God on vacation? Is he falling asleep? And then he prays a 63-word prayer, and the power and the fire from heaven came down. Folks, we got the goods. We got the real thing here. It's not like we're searching around for something that's more powerful than what we already have. And verse 37 says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all of the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, 'The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God.'" Hallelujah. "And Elijah said unto them, 'Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape.' And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kidron and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, 'Get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain.'" You see, when we declare God's power, then all of a sudden there's an abundance of rain. There's abundance of blessing. Well, I know maybe God could probably heal you. You know what? If we have enough faith to declare that God will heal you, God will deliver you. And then chapter 19, verse number 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, belongeth to praise, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father.'" How in the world can someone experience such great power and miraculous miracles of God 1 minute and then the next minute be running for the hills? How can we get to the place where some little thing comes against us, and all of a sudden, all of what we've learned, all of what we've experienced in God, now all of a sudden, we're worried that we're not going to survive? One little threat from an evil woman created such a fear in Elijah. Now, if God could give him the victory over 450 of Baal's prophets, what is one backslidden Jezebel in comparison? Don't let an evil report cause you to fear and lose your joy of the Lord and your confidence of what God is going to do for you. Hallelujah. Amen. He doesn't always take us out of the situation. And every one of us know all about that. But he prepares a table in the presence of our enemies, and goodness and mercy shall follow us some of the days of our life. All the days of our life. I could spend the rest of the evening telling you about the times that God defended me and delivered me and touched me and gave me strength. I remember a time when I had to go to a court because somebody had sued me, and I've told this story before, but I remember coming to an altar on a Wednesday night, and Thursday morning I was supposed to be in court, and as I knelt down and said, God, you know what, I can't handle this, I remember God saying, take your Bible. That's all he told me, take your Bible. And I thought, well, there must be somebody in court that he wants me to witness to, maybe even the judge, you know. And so I took my Bible, got there early, and the court clerk said, well, your case isn't up for a while if you'll just have a seat. And so I sat down, and I opened up my Bible, and it said, as I looked down, and I will defend you for my sake, and I will. And I will defend you for yours. You know what? I don't think we know who we are. I don't think we understand the privilege that we have and the power we have because of the name that we represent. Would you turn to Isaiah 43? Isaiah chapter 43. And verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Do you believe we're his? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thee thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. That's us, folks. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. We belong to God. We were made for his glory. We are precious in his sight. We are the apple of his eye. Can you imagine God just sitting back and saying, well, I wonder how this is going to turn out without defending us and being with us? God told his people, fear not. Why? Because I create thee, I formed thee or made you what you are today. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. You're mine. Why is it that people are so fearful, especially when there are uncertainties in their life? The enemy of our soul desperately wants us to fear. If there's one thing that the enemy wants is to instill some kind of fear within our life. You know, your mother had cancer, that means you'll have cancer. Your dad had an aneurysm, that means you're going to have an aneurysm. You know, everybody around me is being laid off. I'm sure I'm going to be late. You know what? Fear replaces faith. And when you believe that, you know, it can happen to everybody else, but it's not going to happen to me, that pleases God. It really does. Hallelujah. Fear replaces faith, and without faith, well, we can't operate in the Spirit. And God wants us to operate in the Spirit. So God continually reestablishes his love, his protection, his care, and his provision for us. We seem to instantly forget when we are frightened. That's why the phrase fear not is used 63 times in the Bible. And the first thing that Jesus said when he raised from the dead was, fear not. Amen. fear not, because he knows that we're a fearful people. Turn to Isaiah 41, please. Isaiah 41, verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contend with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of nothing. Amen. We are so fearful that God has kept reminding us over and over throughout the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, don't worry about it, don't worry about it, don't fear for anything. You're not going to experience the joy of the Lord if you're afraid of something. Amen. Naaman 1:7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trusteth him. Amen. He knows us. Part of the purpose of the church is to encourage one another. Amen. When we get together, we need to encourage one another. Amen. And build our faith up, you see. Amen. Isaiah 35, I know I'm working you hard tonight. Isaiah 35, you know, there's a famine in the land, and it's not of water, it's a famine of doctrine. There's too much preaching with a half a scripture and the rest of it is opinion. And you know what? There's nothing greater than the Word of God. Nothing that'll affect you more or increase your faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Isaiah 35 and verse number 3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. You know, somebody tells you about a situation, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. And you walk out of here feeling a little better about yourself than some, well, I know some people that went through the same thing, and they're dead now. You know, thank you very much. Yeah, they went completely bankrupt. Their house is gone. They're living in a tent somewhere, you know. No, we need to encourage one another when we get to the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God, are you going to be there for me? Yes, I'm going to be there for you. Jesus said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't worry about it. It's my pleasure. Hallelujah. You know what? You ought to consider your own kids or your grandkids, what their needs are, and if they have some problems, you know, would you just watch them? Oh, yeah, look at what they're going through. No, you come to their rescue because you love them. That's what God does for us. We have a high priest that's touched by the feelings of our weakness or infirmities, you know, because he's been tempted in all points just as we have. Hallelujah. Genesis 15, it's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 15, and starting in verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer and 3 year old, and a she goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all of these and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowl came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with a great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Now, I like it when God talks to us and tells us what's going to happen in the future. I still have some things that God has told me that he's going to do in my life that I haven't experienced, but I'm going to tell you they will happen because I believe it. Now, if something hasn't happened in your life that God has told you is going to happen, there's a great security there, knowing that, hey, if it hasn't happened yet, I'm all right, you know? I mean, take your son and take him up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. Well, you know what? If I'm going to be a father of a great nation, somehow my God is going to raise him up, you see? Hallelujah. You see, what God did here was to give Abram a promise, a hope. God showed him what he needed to sacrifice and what he would inherit. And you'll notice that he had to sacrifice something in order to inherit. There are too many people who want something, but they're not willing to sacrifice anything. We're a new generation of church. Don't have to do a thing, and God's going to just rain down blessings. But that's not the way the Bible works. God told him of trouble down the road, but then he will have many years. Trouble, but don't worry about it. I'm going to add to your years. Take your Bibles and turn to John, the 16th chapter, please. John 16, verse 31. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's saying there's going to come a time that even the Son of God, the flesh of God, is going to have trouble, and everybody else is going to leave him. But don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. Jesus said the world would be in a place where they would crucify him, and he'd be all by himself in that final week and final hours, that people would abandon him and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father or the Spirit of God is with me. Something that we all have to learn as Christians is there are going to be times where we're going to feel all alone, but we will never, ever be all alone. And some of the dilemmas that we go through, whether it's a sickness or a tragedy within our lives, well, sometimes we just feel like Elijah, I got to run into a cave someplace and be all alone. God, just take my life. I remember about 3.5 years ago, just before we started planning the addition on the church, and there were some things that were bothering me as a pastor, and I was asking for some kind of comfort from God, and I remember God saying, if you want me to comfort you, then why don't you comfort somebody else? You remember that. In those times that you're feeling sorry for yourself, you need to find somebody who's in a worse situation than you, perhaps, and start comforting them. And then God started directing me to who I was supposed to call. And one of those persons was Brother Bill Sisko, who has been a friend of mine for a lot of years, dedicated our first church building here, remarried my wife and I at 25 years. And I called and I said, Brother Sisko, I don't know what's going on in your life, but God's asked me to call you. And he said, well, you heard right. He said, I'm about as low as I've ever been. He said, you know, I have preached all over the world, and one of the things that I preach against is fear. And something has happened to me. When I stand up, I become very dizzy and disorientated, and as soon as that happens, I become very fearful, and I don't know how to overcome that. And I said to him, the Lord told me that he's not only going to heal you of this dizziness, but the fear is going to go as soon as he heals you. 2 days later, he called me back and said, it's all right. It's all gone. But it took somebody to talk to them and bring forth words of faith in order to take them out of that situation. Here's a man who's ministered to me more than I've ever ministered to him. You know, God's always there. He's always going to be there. Verse 33 of that scripture says, these things I have spoken unto you. Why? That in me ye might have peace. And God desperately wants peace in our lives. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God came in person to demonstrate that we too can overcome this world. It's not always going to be a bed of roses, but he will never leave you or forsake you. He's always going to be there. Amen. God was saying that there may come a time when we too feel like we have been abandoned and been left all by ourselves. It's part of the process that God puts us through in order to depend more upon him. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 20, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. The first time that word alone is used out of 106 times in the Bible. Genesis 2 and 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for man that he should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. It is not good for the church to be alone. We need God all of the time. See, we can operate in our self-sufficiency because we have a nice building and we have lights and air conditioning and we've got music and we've got all that. But you know what? We can program God right out with all of our sufficiencies. And then maybe God has to take us to a place where we realize, you know, we're nothing, we're nobody without him. Amen. Just down the road after the first murder in the world, Cain's punishment was that he was separated from his family, but more important, he was separated from God. And Cain said in Genesis 4 and 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. No family, no friends, no God. Tonight, how many are here in a similar situation that perhaps you feel alone more than you've ever felt alone before? There are houses all around us that beg for a friend, someone to talk to, be with, who will listen to some of their situations. the abandoned child, the divorced husband or wife, those who have lost a loved one or perhaps just lost a job or lost a friend. The silent home, the empty mailbox, the long days and long nights, forgotten birthdays, the phone that doesn't ring, the cries of loneliness, they're out there. There are many people who don't have somebody within the church to care about them, and they don't even know about a God that loves them. You can hear them from nursing homes. You can hear them from prison cells. You can hear them from manicured streets in the best parts of town, from those that had great dreams and expectations, from aging prom queens and high school stars who really never did any more than what they did in high school, from every spectrum of society, from the failures to the famous, and they're still all alone. The poor, the rich, they feel alone, and their punishment is greater than they can bear. It's not good for us to be without a God. For most of you, there have been upsets and there have been disappointments, and you sometimes have put marks on the wall or someplace in your mind that goes back to them from time to time. Despair. But some may feel totally abandoned. Could it have started at a childhood, the loss of a parent, a divorce, when kids left home, a hospital experience or a cemetery experience, when you got to the place where you felt abandoned? Perhaps there is someone here tonight who has been in disguise in order to hide their loneliness. You may put on a great front and put on a great smile, but you have always been outside the circle looking in. Your companionship is seldom requested, and maybe you feel left behind or abandoned. The most gut-wrenching cry of loneliness in history didn't come from a prisoner or a widow or a patient in the hospital, but it came from a lonely hill of Calvary. Matthew 27 and 46 says, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The loneliest cry of them all. Never has there been such a cry. Take your Bibles to Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Leviticus 16, verse number 7. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering, but the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. The priest placed his hands upon the spotless goat, which was the scapegoat, and proclaimed the sins of the people upon that goat. The innocent goat received the sins of Israel, all of the lying, the lust, the adultery, the immorality, the all of the sin was transferred to that goat. Then it was taken to the wilderness and banished. The people are relieved. The Lord is pleased, and the scapegoat is all alone. On the cross, Jesus became both goats, the one that was slain for the one that was also the one that was banished to carry our sins away. The soldiers slapped him in the face, and he said nothing. They demanded answers at their mock trial, and Jesus said nothing. They beat him to the point that he couldn't even be recognized, and yet he said nothing. He watched in silence as all those that he loved just walked away one by one. But when the Spirit of the Lord left the flesh of man, it was greater than what the flesh could bear. And he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, the people that disappoint us the most are the ones that we love the most. There isn't one stranger who has ever disappointed me. You know, it's as you get close to people and you involve yourself in the life of people, and then one day they don't care about you. It's a very difficult time. I can't imagine what our God went through when all of these people just walked away one by one when he needed them the most. But when the Spirit of God departed the flesh of God, it was too much to bear. And church, I know one thing for sure. People will always disappoint you, but there's a God who will never leave you or forsake you. The Spirit of God will always, always, always be there in order to comfort you, because our God knows what it's like to be all alone. David said in Psalms 51, "Judge me, for I acknowledge my sins and have done this evil in thy sight. I understand that I'm not perfect. My sin is ever before me, and against thee and thee only have I sinned." But verse number 11, he said, "Yet cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me," because there's one thing I cannot bear, is that I'll never feel your presence again, God. I have to feel it. We will all go through a lot of things through life, mistakes we made and things we are accused of that we have been innocent of. Yet one thing I know and can take comfort in, he will never, never leave us or forsake us. So there is nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. We've all lost friends. Someone who was best man at my wedding, when they found out that we were going to church and had dedicated our lives, never talked to him again. There's other relatives I haven't talked to in many years because they know of my stand. And yeah, there's hurt. But I'll tell you what, to lose God, to feel what we feel on a regular basis, is more important than anything else that could happen in our lives. So why did Jesus become the sacrifice and the scapegoat? Oh, I know it was a fulfillment of law. The law was our schoolmaster. It's deeper than rules and deeper than regulations and following the word of God. We have a high priest which is touched by the feelings of our loneliness. He was thinking about the parents of a child that died, the abandoned wife or husband, the person who has been diagnosed with a fatal disease, the elderly in a nursing home that's afraid of the future, or the child left without parents, or maybe someone here tonight that just wants to cry out to heaven and say, "Why?" And although there may not be an immediate answer for any of us from time to time, I picture a compassionate God, the same God who wept at the funeral of his friend Lazarus, displaying that same emotion over you. He who was once all alone understands what it's like to be lonely, and he is here. He always will be, to comfort each and every one of us and to take up your cause because you took up his cause. There was nobody at Calvary when he was dying, but he has thousands and thousands and thousands of followers today. This is the best published book on the face of the planet. There are people who will follow him to their last day and clap their hands for him in every way. Because we've got a God who will never leave us or forsake us. And so what is there to be afraid of? Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? I wish all our messages could be shouting messages, but you know what? Seems like when the shouting goes on, there's nothing being absorbed. I need information that's going to help me live for God. I need to know about this compassionate God. I need to know that when I'm down, he's always going to be up. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. Could we clap our hands to him right now? Lord, I'm asking you right now to cast out any fear in this place. If there's anyone that's going through any situation that they're fearful, for God, in the name of Jesus, we come against that fear right now. Lord, we're not careful for anything, but God, in everything, we're going to come to you. And Lord, the peace that passes all understanding is going to keep our minds and our hearts, Lord. Allow us to experience the joy of the Lord every day, God, and understand who we are. That greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. You're a compassionate God. You're a God that's always there for us. You never sleep. You watch over us. You gather us like a hen gathers his chicks under its wings. And God, you have stationed angels around us in order to protect the greatest commodity on this earth, and that's your people, the church. Now I ask you to bless, God. Allow a blanket of peace to fall on this congregation tonight, God. Lord, allow us to see our hopes and our dreams, God. Hear our prayers and come to our rescue. You're the only one who can. Lord, we don't need another evil report. We need somebody that says, let's go and take the land right now. I believe, God, in all of your promises, and I know, God, that you're willing and able to give us good gifts. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' name. The altar's open. Would you come?